What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Rossler and Derek Ambrosen from the Dynasty Builders Podcast, part of the DLF family of podcasts.
Each week, we use film analysis, rookie breakdowns, ADP, analytic tools,
and a dose of humor
to ensure that you get actionable and practical advice from each and every episode to help you build a dynasty.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Bobby Koch, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 181 of the TradeX podcast. When I change it in the middle of the week, I can never remember if I changed it during the show, after the show, before. I think it's 181. We're going to stick with 181. You know what? It's 181. There you go. See? Starting fresh. Holy shit. So yeah, I have a freaking sinus infection. My face is killing me. So this is, I will not be on my A game, but you know what? I have missed so much of this freaking show, and I have spitefully bowed out every freaking time Bobby's been trying to guest on this show that he finally started threatening me. And I'm like, dude, but I don't feel well. Like, my daughter came down before that she was scared and she was having bad dreams. And Bobby's like, no, you are staying on this goddamn show and you are gonna just do great. And I'm like, I needed that affirmation. Thank you, Bobby. So none
you're
of that
welcome.
True.
Yeah, that none sounds that like me true, to not care about kids being scared at all.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, you know, forget that whole parenting thing. But deep breaths. We're good. This week sucked for fantasy football. I'm just going to say that out loud. It was not great. But I mean, we've been superseded. Like, I wish I had like a soundboard where I could do that, like breaking news, like do, and then like had Har here to do the breaking news because
breaking news. I'll try.
It's nothing will ever be Har, but I loved it. So, like, moments before we jumped on here, John Gruden tendered his resignation as coach and sort of head office person of the Las Vegas Raiders because apparently he's just a bad person. And now everybody knows it. And I guess that's really the important part why he has to actually leave, because the world found out about it. But, man, like, mid-season, like, I don't really, like, remember this happening where it wasn't even performance-based, because, like, this is Derek Carr's, like, almost best season ever. Like, the offense is clicking like crazy, and now the coach is gone. So, I guess, I mean, Bobby, I'll start with you, because you were here for the leading into the question. Rocky just showed up. and he almost made him say that was Yingling.
Blame my wife. My wife was yelling down the
stairs. I would never. That woman is a saint.
She is.
What does this affect for you? Like, should we be going, like, are we going nuts? Are we selling? Well, I'm not a Josh Jacobs person in the first place, but, like, people were riding Derek Carr. He was, like, a very good fantasy quarterback in Superflex leagues. Like, are you panicking? Are you selling? Or do you, like, have faith in the player talent that you're going to go out and start acquiring?
Yeah, I guess first let me just address that I agree. I mean, not that anyone cares about my opinion, but obviously
I care about your opinion. That's why you're on the show.
Gruden is a bad, bad person. And I know it's really nuanced, but I really wish that he was fired instead of being allowed to resign. Like, they should just be like, no, we don't accept your resignation, but also you're fired. Because instead of going into his next job interview where he's like, yeah, I resigned from my last job, you know, we just had a difference of opinion. It's like, no, I was actively fired for being a bad person.
Anyway, you can't fire me. I quit. You can't quit. You're fired. And then exactly. They just like keep going back and forth until they just die of old age.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he's out of the building, I'm ultimately happy. That said, so, you know, for fantasy purposes, which is what we're here for, I will acknowledge that I was never really a big Derek Carr fan, and he's been proving me wrong the past season or two. I was always one of those guys who was like, oh, Derek Carr, he's serviceable. He's an okay quarterback. He's really stepped it up. The thing is, like, do we actually think Gruden's coaching had an impact on these players? I ask honestly because I feel like all of his coaching concepts were dated like 10 years ago, and I'm not smart enough to know who his coaching staff is now, but I have to imagine like they're more involved than he's been. Was he doing the play calling himself? I honestly don't know the answer to that.
No, I believe so. I'm honestly not. If you say it out loud, I don't even know who their OC is. Like, do they even have one? I don't even know. But man, let's think about it.
It's Greg Olson.
All of these years, whenever we've had a coach get let go, I mean, it's been so different. Like I'm trying to say, like, they usually bounce back. They have a good couple of games because they're riding the new wave of energy. But like, I legitimately don't remember anything like this happening before. And I'm really hoping we have a smart person in the chat listening. You know, if you're a smart person, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, and you could help us out during the show when I have no idea what I'm talking about. But seriously, like, I don't remember any of this happening. Now, Rocky, I know your hashtag, particularly Petrella QB approach, like, this is probably going to drive down Derek Carr, his value a little bit. Is he going to be one of your next guys now that Roethlisberger's just, I couldn't think of a better word. Like, is this some guy you're going to go after because his price is going to dip a little bit?
Honestly, yeah, he might be. I mean, the last couple of years he's been in that high end QB2 range, low end QB1, and for some reason he's not really been a guy I've acquired much. I think I only have one or two shares. One of them's in a TA league where I inherited him on an orphan. But he kind of fits the mold anyway. And if he's going to dip even lower, I mean, going into the, you know, during this offseason, he was QB 20 something. So he's producing better than that this year. I don't think Gruden leaving is necessarily going to change that. So, I think he might be somebody I looked, especially I do have some teams where, you know, I'm already down, you know, one of my low end quarterbacks or cheaper quarterbacks, not necessarily low end, like Tua I have in a couple leagues and some other leagues, you know, different quarterbacks that I'm having issues with. And Ben is a guy I have all over the place and I'm not really happy about starting most of the time at this point. So, in some of those leagues, I think I might try and go get Carr. I mean, I'd still pay a first for him. I don't think anyone necessarily needs more than that if they can afford to lose him.
I also think this might be, and I know he's been up and down, but this might be a good buying opportunity on Ruggs of being like, he just lost his coach. He's inconsistent anyway. And then try to just buy low on him. And I don't even know what buying low on him even means anymore. Like, if you toss out maybe like a late second on Henry Ruggs, I feel like that feels appropriate. But if you could get away with like some people, I've actually saw him in one of my leagues and I was very surprised about this. Go for, and Russ is in that league as well. I believe he went for 2/3.
And it's a best ball league.
I was best ball league.
Shocked when I saw that go through.
If you can
and
get
I literally
Ruggs
even
for
went
that,
in the chat and I'm like, that's my bad for not offering a better offer. I mean,
yeah. If you can get Ruggs for that, do it instantly. Yeah. But Ruggs for basically any late second, I think I'm still doing because he started to flash a bit and he still has that high pick status that the NFL coaches seem obsessed with, even ones not named Gruden. So I think this might present a buying opportunity on Ruggs and maybe some of the other Raiders. But to Rocky's point, I don't know how many of the other Raiders I want. I saw in the chat, someone was asking about like Waller. And I think I just need to acknowledge this. I said earlier, I was not Derek Carr's biggest fan. I was never Waller's biggest fan. Even when he broke out, I was still like, he's only all right. And I recognized my bias there where I was like, if you ask me my honest opinion, I'd be like, yeah, he's good for fantasy. But there's still like this emotional investment of him just not being a good player by my perception.
I'm tape-locking on this one, and I'm not coming off of it.
Yeah, I just had a hard time getting over that, even though, like, if you really push me, I would say Darren Waller is a top tight end. But right now, with the inconsistency and my former bias, I will take lock right now and say
right back
I would not be buying Darren Waller.
Good for you. First of all, we have to... Okay, well, I know his real name, but I'm not going to use it because he goes by Ridley Truther and rock on Calvin Ridley. So that's what we're calling him. I mean, I have been a little worried about Darren Waller. Like, we always knew that Darren Waller was an extremely volume-based, you know, play. Like, that's what he was. And the volume hasn't really been there. And the yards after the catch hasn't been there either. So it's like, yeah, cool. Week one and like, I think it was like week three, you got like 20 something points, 30 points, but then you got like six and then you got like nine and you're just like, okay, paid a lot for this guy.
Okay. He is consistently, I just looked it up and I'm not like an encyclopedia of stats, but he is consistently seeing at least seven or eight targets, which is pretty big for a tight end. But that said, to Russ's point, he's only like putting up like 50 yards here and there. But again, it's also a tight end. So like, that probably makes him like a high tight end one because all of the tight ends just suck.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, in TA scoring, he's still tight end two. He's just, it's almost now like it's a tier of one with Kelsey, and then it drops off to Waller. I was watching, and then to everyone else. Yeah.
I was watching Red Zone yesterday, and they have on the scroll like the fantasy stats, like fantasy wide receiver and fantasy tight end. Fantasy tight end one was, I don't even remember anymore, but someone with a lot of points. And then two was Tyler Higbee with 70 yards and a touchdown. Tight end three was another dude with 64 yards and a touchdown. Tight end three was a guy with 58 yards and a touchdown. Tight end, like, seriously,
and it was touchdown.
12 right. yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Tight end 12.
That's, and then there was one guy that just had 40 yards. It's just like, okay, cool. So you have Kelsey. You have to hope Waller gets double-digit targets, or you hope your guy catches the touchdown.
Like, I mean, to be fair, I realize we say this about tight ends in general, but I think if you really want to extend it out, and there's probably some analytics people that will get mad at me for saying this, most of fantasy is hoping that your guy catches a touchdown when it boils down to it. Like, we're always like, oh, tight ends are so touchdown dependent. I got a little secret for you. So are wide receivers, like, to a certain degree. Sure, some of them can rack up 100 yards after day after day, but a lot of them still pretty touchdown dependent themselves for fantasy scoring. We right, just put so much weight on it.
Yeah. Well, also, I'm going to use this as a very smooth transition into a Trade Addicts trade, because actually, I think there's two. Okay, no, one was a Trade Addicts League, one was not a Trade Addicts League. But it was the same scoring because it's another league I created. I would say last year that it was definitely not a new league, but we changed it to Dynasty Awesome Sauce after Casey destroyed us all and she got to choose the name. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage. And in Trade Addicts 3, I traded away Dalton Schultz for a second. And in Dynasty Awesome Sauce, I traded a second and Anthony Firkser for Dawson Knox. Now, these are two guys that have worked their way into very large target shares on their teams. And my question to you is, especially in a premium of our size, and just to show like the disparity of what it used to be, like, I remember 2 years ago, any tight ends that had hype on their name, you had to pay a first for. Like, it did. Like, I remember having to pay a first for Irv Smith like 2 years ago, and even like Tyler Conklin when we thought Kyle Rudolph was actually going to leave 3 years ago. Like, there was just so many people that like might be a thing, and since it's a tight end premium, you have to pay so much. Have we just lost that? Have we actually grew? You know, to the idea that tight ends is a shit show and I guess we don't pay for hype anymore. Like, because again, Dalton Schultz has been killing it. Dawson Knox two games in a row, and they were talking up Dawson Knox in the offseason. Well, they were talking up the tight end situation. You know, that we want to get our tight end involved, and right now Knox is our tight end. So would you is there any tight ends outside of Kelsey, Waller, Hawk, Pitts that you would spend a first for?
Well, also real quick, I would like to remind everybody that last year in Trade Addict 7 and Hot Sauce or Awesome Sauce or whatever we're calling it, I picked up Dalton Schultz and I got made fun of relentlessly for like being the Dalton Schultz guy. And then in Trade Addict 7, I will say I made the mistake of trading him away for CJ Uzoma or however, and I apologize that I cannot pronounce his name correctly because I doubt I just did it correctly. And a third, I hung on to Schultz in like other leagues and it's worked out really well, but everyone made fun of me for it, including you, Russ, and including Casey, who's the biggest like Cowboys fan.
I would
and
just
I'm
say
sure Rocky retroactively was probably like Blake Jarwin, TE1. Oh,
no, I was just going to say, I would not have made fun of you. I did not make fun of you, and I would not have made fun of you while I was in TA7 last year. I remember being in a startup this year, and I think it was the Fantasy Timeline Listener League startup, and there was a whole big debate about Blake Jarwin versus Dalton Schultz somehow in like the 18th round and in the chat, and I was Team Schultz. People love to push aside the guy who actually produced for what they think is the hot thing. And I mean, I didn't think Dalton Schultz was going to do what he's doing this year, but I thought Schultz was going to be the tight end one there over Jarwin, despite the contract, and it's playing out that way. So I did not make fun of you, Bobby.
Fair enough. But
and if I did, it was just because it was you, not because I even paid attention to what the trade was.
Fair, yeah, I agree with that too. But anyone who thinks that Earth who thought Dalton Schultz would be as good as he is no. Lying straight up, yes. Just lying to you.
Yes.
That said, I got made fun of so much in the offseason and like jumped on by a bunch of, because the thing is with tight ends, as much as they suck, people latch onto them and are like bigger fanboys or fangirls of them than any other position. And so I had like all the Blake Jarwin truthers. No one really cares that much about my fantasy football takes anymore, but I remember very distinctly saying like, can Dalton Schultz still be like a problem for just suggesting that he might be a problem for Blake Jarwin's upside? And like, how dare you? Dalton Schultz was only a thing because Blake Jarwin was injured. He can't catch. He can't do anything. So I've been very happy with his results this season because I am a petty, petty. I will censor myself for Russ's sake so he doesn't have to edit. But
thank you.
It's amazing how many Jarwin truthers there are or were out
so
there.
So athletic.
Yes. For a guy who never really did that much of any, you know, a few big plays here and there, but that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that was Russ's point about like people just hyping up the quote unquote next thing at tight end because we so desperately want there to be. Russ, to answer your question, I think people don't care about tight ends not named Travis Kelce or now Kyle Pitts. They just don't. I mean, Hawk makes a case for himself.
Slander Hawk that way.
And I know I have to say that on the show. He started to show out a bit this season and then kind of tapered off, but that's also just the Lions. But yeah, people just don't care. And so like even in these you could probably give people like a 3-point TE premium. And I still don't think you're gonna see many first traded for tight ends because it's just that ugly out there.
Oh man, Travis Kelce 101. Holy crap. But yeah, besides the point. All right, so let's get back to in order of the show sheet because man, there's just so many injuries we have to talk about. I'm going to read down the list and then we'll go back and talk about them. George Kittle is on the IR with a calf injury. Daniel Jones has a concussion. Saquon Barkley amazingly only has a low ankle sprain. Kenny Galladay has a knee injury, both of which are not as bad as they could be, whatever the hell that means. Juju Smith-Schuster is having shoulder surgery, and he will be out for the season, which sucks. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has an MCL sprain. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. And, hey, Tua might return to practice this week. You know, finish on an up note. But, okay, so how was your Sunday, Bobby? How was that?
So, you know, being a Giants fan, you just read many names on that list that were star Giants players. So that wasn't great. And they also got decimated by the Cowboys. That also wasn't great. I'm going to use this as a segue, though, really quick, because I promised people this was coming. And the last time I podcasted was the draft. And when we got towards like the end of the first, I was very excited because the Giants had just traded their pick. and picked up some extra draft capital, and everything was going great. And then they drafted Kadarius Toney, and everybody on that show jumped on me immediately. And then Twitter
people, I was on that show, I remember that.
Yep, I was there too.
Twitter people also started sending me DMs like, hey buddy, are you okay? It's not gonna be okay, you're fine. Well, all I can say to you, those people, is did I have my doubts about Toney? Yes, of course. Jason Garrett is still their offensive coordinator. I did not think he could scheme appropriately for what Toney apparently does well. That said, the last two games, he's been amazing. Earlier, I tweeted out a clip from the game for people who, unlike me, don't like to subject themselves to watching the Giants games, which I understand.
Yep, that's and a tough thing to go through.
That was aided by my good friend Joe. Everyone knows him at Trader Joe and the fantasy Twitter community. And in this particular play, you see like three, I think it was three or four Cowboys defenders in Daniel Jones's face. He just heaves the ball downfield. Toney gets tripped up by the corner who's on him, or the safety, or whoever it is. Literally, like the guy is doing like a sliding tackle from soccer. And somehow Toney still keeps his body in the line on the sidelines to make the catch with probably some of the most insane body control that I've seen since Odell Beckham. I was telling Rocky earlier that I have very rarely like exclaimed what the, and I'm also censoring myself here again, Russ, just happened since Odell left.
Very quickly.
That said, really quick on this Odell topic, I know people are going to think I'm crazy, but there are a lot of parallels with Odell's rookie season between him and Toney, where both got like injured early in camp. People were questioning the draft pick. They didn't really get involved until like week four or five. And when they did, they pretty much just locked themselves in as starters. And they also both had like veterans go down ahead of them and all these things. So I'm hoping he follows the Odell career path, at least up until the point that Odell became a major diva and also got traded to the Browns, because apparently going to the Browns just saps you of all football talent, at least if you're Odell Beckham. Because don't get me wrong, there are people in the Browns who are very talented. Anyway, that is my long-winded way of saying that everyone who ragged on me about Kadarius Toney, you can take a long walk off a short pier.
I will so say that was an amazing catch. And Bobby, I saw the clip Bobby sent. It was amazing overall play. Jones was getting blasted as he threw it. But I also one playing a little a devil's advocate that. Your boy on the Giants, Evan Engram, also produced really well when the entire team got hurt in his rookie year also. So, I want to see it a little more. I'd like to see it when everybody comes back. He is a rookie, but it's definitely way better than you could have expected, given the way everybody on the in the community crapped on him the entire offseason. So kudos to you, Bobby.
I'm not a big eye test guy, and I've said this before. From the past few games watching him, you can just tell there's a difference when he has the ball in his hands in terms of just like his ability to move and his field vision. It's something we haven't seen on the Giants in a long time. So I'm very excited about it. And I will say this because I would have said this anyway, because Jason Garrett deserves to be fired. But if he does not scheme purposely to get Toney involved, because everyone's talking about, once Shepard comes back or Galladay comes back, here's the thing about Galladay. I love Galladay as a player. Apparently, he just can't stay healthy anymore, and I'm not like a big injury-prone guy. But he just like signed with the Giants coming off his injured year, and now is just like, yeah, I got my big contract. I'm okay. It's fine. Like, I hope that he recovers well. But I think Toney is going to be a starter for the rest of the season. And I think people who got him in the second round in their rookie drafts, is particularly in Superflex, maybe he was earlier in non-Superflex, are going to be very happy. Now, Russ, to your point about injuries, I will say this. I don't understand why we play this sport because in SFB, for example, I think I had like all of my running backs go down in the preseason and then it was a shot. And then I was like, okay, well, at least this one other league I'm really excited to play in and do well in. And it was our hot sauce league. And I said, I'm going to wreck it. And then Miles Gaskin, this wasn't even injuries related. Miles Gaskin and Mike Davis survived the entire offseason with everyone saying they were going to be replaced, only to be like possibly the worst running back starters I've ever seen in my life.
Except for this week.
Yeah, that's true. But
David Davis got replaced on his own team, but
yeah, that's also true. The point is, you know, the injuries, I will say there are players, and you don't need me to tell you this, go look at like any waiver wire list, and there are players you should probably be going out to pick up. If you're in Superflex, I would strongly advise you go pick up Geno Smith, just because any quarterback throwing to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf is probably going to put up some points for you. But it honestly, when I see injuries now, my reaction is just, why do I play this stupid game?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I even forgot to put Russell Wilson tearing a tendon in his finger, and he's going to be gone for however long. I forgot to put that on the list.
Only one of the best players and on your team, Russ.
You just didn't want to relate that. That was like forever ago. How am I supposed to remember that? But like, Saquon Barkley, you're going to have people right now screaming, look, he's injury prone. The dude stepped on another guy's foot and rolled his ankle. First of all, don't go look at the picture, or go look at the picture. It was scary looking. The dude had an ankle on his ankle. Like, that's how weird it looked afterwards. But it's just a low ankle sprain. And that dude played through a high ankle sprain like 2 years ago. So, like, maybe he'll miss a week or two, but he's going to come back. And the dude, Saquon Barkley, he is very freaking talented. This was a fluke accident. Don't be dumb.
The fact that it was just a low ankle sprain, to your point, was insane. Like, I thought his entire foot was basically going to have to be, like, amputated.
He's done. Yeah, like, your foot went sideways. That means it's gone now. Like, weirdly enough, backups have always done pretty well. Like, Wayne Gallman did great, and like, even Alfred Morris was decent, like, on when the Giants were playing him. So maybe go get Devonta Booker if no one is holding on to him in your dynasty league. I don't think this is the league winning running back pickup off the wire move, but I'm sure he'll be startable. Like, 25% of fab I'd be fine throwing, just because he's going to be a starting running back. They don't have anyone else.
You're also relying on Mike Glennon moving that offense, though, and we don't know for how long. Because
and that Daniel Jones concussion looked kind of scary. I mean, the way he stuttered around like he was drunk after he got up, it was...
Yeah, he got carted off, too. Yeah.
Daniel Jones got absolutely crunched. It was bad. It was really, really bad. And I know I'm making this like a Giant-centric podcast right now, but this is also what I know. The thing with Booker is, like, I do think Glennon can probably move the offense a bit. It's just, if you're expecting like even like RB2 numbers from him with Glennon at the helm, I'm not sure about that. That said, I mean, we just talked about it. They have the GOAT Tony, so they'll be near the end zone all the time and it'll be fine. He'll just score a bunch of like 1 yard rushing touchdowns after Tony takes like 99 yard passes from Glennon somehow.
Seriously, I don't remember anyone changing direction like Darius Tony does. Like, at least at wide receiver, like, I'm not comparing. I'm not saying they're anything alike whatsoever. But like, remember Barry Sanders running with your ball, and you're just like, "Wait,
how?" So what I'm hearing is Kadarius Toney is Barry Sanders.
You heard it from here first. Russ said Kadarius.
I'm too
Toney
lazy
is Barry
to
Sanders.
Even have someone else edit that soundbite. Kadarius Toney is Barry Sanders. There it is. But like, Barry Sanders would be running the ball, and then all of a sudden he's running in a different direction, and the defense is still going in that first direction. You're just like, wait, what? Huh? The camera guy's facing the wrong way. Like, he made some cuts like that. And it's just like, oh damn. And it's just, it's fun. And that's really what I care about, especially because I don't really care about the Giants at all, but I like fun football, and I hope they make him a thing, just because good football is good football. Right. And that makes everything better. And I don't know. It's fun.
He may not have done himself any favors, though, by getting in a fight, because apparently I was reading, I don't know if you guys saw this, maybe this is just in the Giants world that we care about these sorts of things, but he threw that punch and then Joe Judge was cursing at him as he like got ejected from the game.
Yeah. But I mean, like, if you're on the Giants, you might as well punch a Cowboys player.
And just to finish up on Tony, I mean, I did the little devil's advocate thing, but he has looked impressive. So I only have one share. I hope he does keep it up. I got him in, I think, the TA9 startup we did this year. I got him with a very, very late second. That's the only reason I drafted him, because like everybody else, I was like, I don't want no Kadarius Toney.
Yep.
And he's actually still sitting on my taxi squad, I believe. So I might need to activate him now.
That happened in like all my leagues where like you, most people who drafted Toney felt the need to like include a note of like, ugh, I don't want to do this, but I'm drafting Toney.
It's funny because on a lot of my, I got bored with a lot of my teams. Bored is the wrong word. Like I just would stare at my team and like, okay, I'm scoring points, but I'm not gonna win. This isn't a good team. Like, screw it, I'm gonna blow it up. I ended up getting Toney on a lot of those teams because he's a rookie wide receiver that, like you guys said, no one wanted on their team, so they would literally just throw him in. And at this point, even just doing what he did the past 2 weeks, you're not getting him for less than a second, which
I was just going to say. Marvin in the chat said, what would you be sending for Toney? Do you think anyone is selling him for a second? Like, most people probably drafted him with a late second. Why are you going to sell him
for a second? Because you're going to have people that drafted him because he was sitting there and because he had first round draft capital. Maybe this is like, it's worth a shot, right? Like, maybe this is that point where like, okay, cool, I can recoup my costs, right? I spent a second, I spent a 210. This might be the 204 victory, baby. Like, go send a second. Why not? Like, for a chance at some dude you've seen do something talented, you might as well give it a shot. I would absolutely send seconds out.
As soon as a rookie has put up, like, over an 100-yard game, pretty much, I'm instantly like, okay, you are worth at least slightly more than a random second because I've seen you produce a big game at the NFL level.
Yeah, and there's no way in hell I'd give a first for him, though.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I don't know if I'm there. I will say it honestly would really depend on my situation. I could see myself talking myself into it, but I do think that is some of my Giants bias at play of I just want him to be good. And so here's a very unlikely scenario where I could see you paying a first, and let's say you already know that it's probably like a contending first. And I'm not saying he's going to keep up the pace, but if he is the player at all that he's shown in the last two games, you're going to be absolutely happy that that's all you paid for him because his price will rise drastically. That said, there are many reasons to be concerned. And some of those are like, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be of the Giants next year. If I had to guess right now, it's not Daniel Jones. I think they're either swinging a trade for a veteran quarterback with a new GM, or they're drafting like Sam Howell or one of these other college quarterbacks who are high enough to pretend to know. They have two firsts, though. They can trade up if they need to.
I think Daniel Jones is doing college quarterbacks.
So it could be Daniel Jones. I think there's a lot of uncertainty around the Giants offense to the point where I used to be, I think, more okay with giving up first. And then I had a conversation with like Shane Manila and a few others who they're basically like,
Never talk to Shane.
Well, he did make a rare smart point for him because, you know, he's a dumb Philly guy, Rocky.
Yeah, well.
But he did say like, unless you can guarantee that a guy's going to be like a top 15-ish guy, or you really think they're going to be that sort of guy, you're giving up a lot in giving up that first. And it's not just the actual production you're giving up in the first, it's just also the value associated with taking someone with that first round pick. So I go through periods of like, I'm okay trading away all my picks. And I've also gone through periods of like, I need to hoard all my picks. And I've started to be a lot more conscious about what I trade that first for.
I was just going to say, it's also who else you can get for that first. Like,
right.
I don't want to give a first for, especially if I'm contending, even if it's a contending, my own first for Toney when, like you said, I mean, if he is what he's done these first two games, then yeah, a first is going to be a bargain. But I'm definitely a guy that likes to, you know, I want you to show it to me. And I'm a little skeptical of rookies, especially ones that don't have, I mean, he has the first round pedigree, but you know, the analytical, I guess, pedigree and the film watcher pedigree and all that kind of stuff that like we said, everybody did not like Kadarius Toney pretty much universally coming out except the NFL. So I'm almost always going to, if I'm going to send that first, I need to see more than two games at this point, basically.
Well,
I'd
rather you're also telling me, Rocky, he's not going to put up 189 yards a game. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying 189, but yeah, I mean,
he can't
I'm
predict saying, the future.
Yeah. If he's anywhere near this, is what I'm saying.
Watch Kadarius Toney go and put up 200 yards a game for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
I want to see that.
The first 3,000 yard receiver.
Has to happen now. Okay, so we're going to move on because Juju Smith-Schuster signed a one-year deal and is now out for that 1 year. He's going to be out for the season and come in next year as an unrestricted free agent. What are your feelings on this? Like, I was excited for Juju no matter how bad he was playing. Like, Juju for me was a next year play because he was hopefully going to go, like, the Chiefs tried to sign him. But he knew if he waited a year, you get more money because of the TV bonus coming. So are you still, or are you, okay, let me just answer because I told you how I felt in the first place. Like, I'm trying to word it like, do you feel like I do? Then let me just tell you how I feel. I'm still buying Juju. It's a shoulder injury. It'll heal. It's not the biggest deal in the world. And I always thought Juju was talented. I don't care that he can't be the alpha on a team if that's going to be your argument, because we've seen Calvin Ridley be freaking awesome with another dude there. We've seen Juju Smith-Schuster be awesome with another wide receiver there. We're watching three wide receivers in Tampa be very freaking good, and sometimes Gronkowski when he feels like not having a hole in his lung. So Juju's value fell so far in the non-point scoring season and continued to go down in the season with how bad Ben was doing. You can probably get, if you can get Juju for a first, any like a random first, which I think you can at this point, or I'm trying to think of like Brandon Cooks in a second, you know, like from a contending team like needs the points. So you go and you send him someone else. Like, hell, maybe you do Brandon Cooks straight up for a desperate team. Like, I know I'm bringing up a name that Bobby just like clutches to, but like,
well,
to me, I would
Juju
do that.
Juju is also one of those guys for me.
I think you could get Juju for Brandon Cooks on a contending team.
And I would be all for that move because he's still crazy young, crazy talented, and will literally get to choose from many choices because I ran out of a good word. Where to play next year. So I am all down for that.
Here's a question, I guess, and I'm posing this because I really don't know the answer. Do you think you have to pay a first for Juju at this point? Because I don't think you do.
No, like honestly, like throw 2 seconds and see how it goes.
I think there's a lot of people that don't feel like you, Russ, out there, even before this injury.
1,000%. Yeah. Yes.
That's probably the majority opinion, basically, is significantly lower than Russ. So
yes. So for a second. If that doesn't work, add another second. If that doesn't work,
I'm just putting
you have
this
to
out
go
there.
Through that struggle that Bobby was talking about. Whether
I think at best his price was a late first before this happened. So I think you could probably get him for, if somebody is pretty sure it's a high second, I think they might do it.
I've seen Juju go for Kirk in a second when Kirk was playing better. So like 2 weeks ago,
it's like 2 seconds for Juju. Maybe. Yeah.
I would do that all day.
Well, so here's a question.
I would do that as well.
And I just made up this scenario in my head. What if Juju signs with the Bills next year and gets to play opposite Stephon Diggs, who's basically like his rookie year Antonio Brown? Because then that could be, and then he also has Josh Allen throwing him the ball, who we know is a fairly good quarterback and young, and he can develop it. I just think that could be some magic happening there. But I admittedly am Team Juju. I mean, I tended to trust analytics, so when a guy is super young and plays super well, I pay attention. He's still relatively young.
Hence your Brandon Cooks love.
Hence my Brandon Cooks love, because all Brandon Cooks does is produce, and for some reason nobody wants to love him for it.
Win no matter what.
Brandon, so I don't know if everybody knows this, but my love of Brandon Cooks primarily stems from the fact that he was the first ever Dynasty rookie that I ever drafted. And all he did was produce for me. And then people were like, oh, you should get rid of him. He's getting traded. And it was like one of those things where it was like, no, this is my baby. This is my son. I'm not getting rid of him. I will believe in him. And then he rewarded my belief. And then they went, oh, no, he got traded again, Bobby. Now you really have to do it. And I was like, no, this is my son. I will not do it. And
all
then he produced
ever
again.
Done is produce.
Yeah, he will get traded midseason this season off the terrible Texans team. And somehow, like, still find a way to get to 1,000 yards by the end of the season. And we'll all be like, how did that happen? And one day we'll look back on his Hall of Fame career and say that he was the most unappreciated Hall of Famer in the entirety of the NFL.
And because people saw him get a couple of concussions, he's injury prone, even though he's played like 93 of the last 96 games or something like that.
Look, just because one of his concussions happened in the playoffs and we don't count that, you don't get to cheat.
That's bring it back to Juju, though. Okay. I would gladly trade a second in Kirk. I can't even believe that went down. I would trade 2 seconds. I think to your point, I would trade a late first. I just don't think you have to. Or maybe if you're trading that like first, you could try to be like one of those guys like a Riley Bymaster and be like, hey, kick back like a third or fourth my way to get this deal done. Like, I know you want my first, but I don't really think Juju's quite there anymore. So give me like a little extra juice and we'll get this done.
That said, your Buffalo scenario was awesome. What if some shitty team, sorry, Russ.
hey, man, that's fine.
Signs him to be their number one. Are you as excited about him? Well, I'm trying to think of who that might be, but I'm blanking off the top of my head.
I mean, let's see. What if he goes to Jacksonville?
That actually was one that came to me as well, but I know they have some other young guys there, so.
They also probably won't have Urban Meyer, and they have Trevor Lawrence, so I would feel okay about that. I mean, like
Urban Meyer will not be there.
The worst case scenario would be like probably traded to the Texans for like Brandon Cooks straight up. <There you go>. It's like, well, I mean, he can't be traded at this point, but he signs with the Texans, and then
would you just be a Texans fan at that point?
No, I could never. That team. There's so many problems with like what that team has done in general. And I have a friend who's a huge Texan fan and I feel really bad for him. But yeah, that's like honestly the worst team I could think of. Or like, I feel bad saying it because I want them to kind of be good, especially because I do kind of like Zach Wilson. But like going to the Jets just seems like a curse too.
Yeah, well, that ownership is for another story. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has an MCL sprain. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. I've been kind of out on him a little bit in the first place because he's a pass catcher back in a team that doesn't throw it to the running backs. But also his snap count has been steadily going down every single week before, like leading up to this happening. Would you get out on CEH for 2 seconds right now if you had him?
I can't believe that you're bringing this up while Rocky is gone, because I had one CEH on all of my rosters. And this offseason, it was in Trade Addict 7. I traded him to Rocky, I believe, with a third and like Darius Slayton or something like that for Chase Claypool, a first, and I think a second. But regardless, I got Chase Claypool and a first for CH and Darius Slayton effectively from Rocky. So I just need to point that out. But Rocky's not here to be dunked on. So that's unfortunate.
That's fine. So we'll just tell him he got dunked on, and then everyone who listens to this will tell him he got dunked on when he wasn't here for it.
Yeah. But to your question about like the 2 seconds though, that's maybe I'm just holding on to like the quote unquote name value of CH if he even had that to begin with. That's a tough sell for me because seconds are such a like I'm trying to think of a replacement word so you don't have to edit a
crapshoot.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, granted, you could get a Kadarius Toney in the second, but you could also get a whole host of other people who don't pan out. So like two of them, while they could help you in trades, if you have to make the picks, I'm not that confident that you're going to get a player that has the supposed talent, at least of a CEH. But if you really want out and you're on a rebuilding team, I can't fault anyone for making that move.
Okay, yeah, we're going to skip into Trade Addicts trades a second, and I know we're doing this while Rocky's still peeing, but because he was involved in this, I don't remember. Oh, he traded away Ezekiel Elliott for Clyde Edwards-Helaire in a 23 first.
It's been a while since I've been called out for peeing. Thanks, Russ.
So we're just
Ryan did it first in the chat, so I just went with it.
The entire time you're just dunking on bad trades you made involving CH.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. We've got you covered.
Yeah. So talk about Ezekiel Elliott for CEH in a 23 first.
Yeah, this was TA3. TA3's been weird for me.
Every time I look at Rocky's team for a trade, I try and sell him a vet, and he's like, but my team is bad. And I'm like,
you're scoring a lot of points and your team looks really good. He's like, I think they're bad. Like, we always, no. always, always disagree about his team in this league. But now he's pushed his chips in on at least going to next year, especially after I destroyed him
by like, 0.6.
Yeah, 0.6. And like, we both scored in the 130s, by the way.
Yeah. So there was exactly. no destroying. I'm not scoring a lot in this league. That's why, yeah. and this will kind of relate to a listener question we have later, but yeah, I'm like eighth in the league in points, but yeah, going back to the, I mean, that was my first, you know, TA league. I made it to the finals the first year and lost to our boy, Justin.
Justin, baby, represent.
So, and then the next year, I think I already didn't love the team, you know, cause I do the bet thing a lot of the time. And I thought it was kind of middling. So I kind of retooled on the fly and I even almost made the playoffs the second year. And going into last year, I felt really good, and then I didn't make the playoffs last year. So I started kind of selling, I think, part late in the season, and I actually did pretty well. And then Russ kind of screwed me over just before the season by offering me this giant trade where I sent all my young players away.
Oh, man. Yeah, but you got Zeke, Ridley, and Hawk. I can't remember if there was more, but
yeah, those were the main pieces. I think I got like Robbie Anderson through in there, who I liked a lot more than I do right about now. And there was one other guy in there, I think, but I gave away like CeeDee Lamb and Justin Fields. Yeah. Oh, I think there was a quarterback, it might have been Goff or somebody. Justin Fields, Devontae Smith. Yeah, I've been doing a nice job of piling up young assets, and then Russ. You know, got me in a weak moment, and I decided
that carrot,
to,
baby.
Yeah, I decided to go in for this year, and it's not working. I think I'm 2-2, or now 2-3, I guess. But I'm like eighth in points. But I'm like eighth in points, and this was actually done just before the game. So I was already at 2-2 and eighth in points, ready to, you know, say this is it. And so I traded Zeke for CH in the first. There's like two teams that have almost all the 22 firsts. So, and Joe didn't have a 22 first anyway. That's who this was with, FF Trader Joe. He didn't have and that.
He's
anyway.
The one I traded Schultz to also. So,
yeah.
Thanks, Joe, for giving us some stuff to talk about.
And I think he won the league last year, right? Or
correct.
Was he it? Did, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so he's going for it again. And so I took the 23 first. That's what I'm going to try and do. Is it so if TA3, if you're listening, I'm looking to pick up some more 23 first for guys on my team. I'm that's what I'm shooting for now is 23. CEH, I wasn't sure. You know, I figured even if I'm kind of rebuilding/retooling, I could maybe hold on to CEH or I could flip them. That doesn't look too great now after Sunday. But yeah, I'm looking for this 23 first. Again, another thing that complicates this is the monster team that we've talked about before that Ben has. And he also has multiple firsts as well.
He productive struggled the hell out of his team. He hasn't won, but
yes,
like
but he should
by
have.
Luck. Yes, yeah. It is by luck, which is why, you know, go for the playoffs because then yeah, it can happen.
He wasn't great the year me and Dustin made the finals, but. He really should have been in there every year since, and he hasn't won it. And he's first now. He's first in points. He's got, I think he's 4-0 or 5-0. I'm not sure if he won this week, but he's really, really good, and he's got a monster team. So I'm hoping maybe it starts falling off by 23, and then I'm in the running then. So, yeah, I made the mistake. I even said it that night. I think it was in August at some point. I said, Rocky's screwing up his team by trying to go for it this year. I should have just kept building assets and kept pointing probably towards 22 or 23. But
that Hawk week was back to you, baby.
Yeah, that's what it was. You threw Hawk in there and I was just...
Because you were trying
I was putty in your hands, Russ.
Yeah, I knew it.
And Ridley didn't help you out because I was just as high on Ridley as you are. So, I thought this was good value, though. I thought CEH, and I'm higher on CEH than most. The 23 first, you know. Zeke is a... You know, he's going to be great for this year probably, but his value is just going to continue to go down at this point. So on a team where I didn't think I really had a shot, definitely at winning. I don't even know how I had that good of a shot at the playoffs. So I saw no point in keeping Zeke on my team.
Can't fault you for that. The only thing I would add there is you just made a really good point that I've always, or not always, but generally have done when I'm rebuilding, which is I actually purposely generally target picks 2 years out because as I'm sure you guys have discussed on the show before, people, for whatever reason, deep value firsts that are 2 years out.
Time is money.
I mean, yeah, if you're picking in a play league, you can lose money on those picks. But if you're patient, you can also build a super team, which is what it sounds like Ben did. And you can also get those firsts a lot cheaper because people devalue them. So that's a little secret if you're keeping a notebook on a league with me, is that I purposely sometimes target them. Or even like if I'm right now, I'm not going to lie, I'm very heavily invested in the 22 class across pretty much all my leagues. So now I'm at the point where I'm purposely targeting 23 just to diversify a bit.
By the way, if anybody wants my players in Awesome Sauce as well, I'm also looking for 23 first.
Rocky's bad at fantasy football, guys.
Hey, this is like 30 leagues, and that's just two of them. Most of the other leagues, I'm doing very well.
All right, so we're going to move on to other trades and Trade Addicts leagues, Trade Addicts 2. Okay, Chase Claypool, two firsts and 2 seconds for Tua, James Robinson, DJ Moore, and Robert Woods. This is a lot, so I'm going to say it again. Chase Claypool, 222 firsts, 222 seconds for Tua, James Robinson, DJ Moore, and Robert Woods. The only thing I want to say about this is I am so mad that Neil traded DJ Moore to someone who is not me. For like a year and a half, I've been trying to get DJ Moore off this guy's team, and he just wouldn't give it to me. Ugh.
So I tried to do DJ Moore for what effectively became Tua once upon a time. I still regret it to this day.
You know, I love me.
Oh, yeah. Then I traded him away right away.
Yeah. I think my brain broke a little when you were reading the name, so I was trying to keep track. But the way I was thinking about this, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. But first, so Chase Claypool and like a first. I know there are two, but I'm okay, breaking it down into parts.
Okay, go. Yeah.
Chase Claypool on a first is probably close on value for DJ Moore, as much as I don't want to say that because I like DJ Moore significantly more than I like Claypool. But so that's pretty close. Then you have, there was the second first and 2 seconds on the other side. That was it, right? And then Tua and James Robinson. So you basically have a first.
Robert Woods.
Oh, so you and Robert Woods. So you have a first and 2 seconds versus Tua, James Robinson, and Robert Woods. I would smash the Tua Claypool or Tua DJ. Wait, now I'm confusing myself.
Tua DJM, James Robinson, DJ Moore, and Robert Woods.
Yeah, smash the DJM side by like a mile.
I'm with Bobby on that one. Yep. I kind of broke it down a little different. Like Claypool, I would need Claypool and a first for DJ Moore. So
yeah, that's what we said.
Yeah, okay. And then you know, 2 seconds for, I'll take Robert Woods over 2 seconds, and that just leaves a first for Tua and James Robinson. So,
or you could say a free James Robinson. Because yeah, Tua should be at least a first.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm taking that side all day.
Yeah, I know. I'm just bitter about not having DJ Moore. TA5, Justin Fields and a first for Daniel Jones and Travis Kelce.
Can you repeat that? I feel like my brain was still broken from trying to track the last trade.
This is just four things. Justin Fields in a first. Mm-hmm. Crap, I clicked away. Justin Fields in a first for Daniel Jones and Travis Kelce.
Okay, I got it now. And this is a Trade Addicts league, correct?
So correct. It's
T premium. And okay, yeah.
I think for value, this side you should be saying is Justin Fields in the first. But if I'm contending, I'll take that Kelce and Jones side all day.
I think it's the Kelce and Jones side anyway.
Yeah, even if I'm not contending, I'll take the Kelce and Jones side. Because to your point earlier, Jones possibly, like Jones has shown flashes where he could potentially be a quarterback, whether it's for the Giants or not. And then Kelce, I have to imagine that in a league with such a high premium, where Kelce is often not just like the number one tight end, but number three overall player.
Number one pass catcher for sure.
Or number one pass catcher. You could probably trade him for Justin Fields in a first straight up in most of these.
It won't happen. That's the thing. Should it? Yes. Would it happen? No. You're not even going to see Justin Fields for Kelce. But even though Kelce should get drafted before Justin Fields.
People are quarterback crazy.
Yeah.
And especially young quarterback crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, Kelsey's like 31, so he's dead.
I'm also going to use this to like hijack the conversation for a second, because I want to talk about Justin Fields, and I want to know, like, are people panicking about him. Like, you know, if he was our number, for most of us anyway, I feel like he was our number two in this class.
Yep.
And he's been injured and has not performed well because Nagy's play calling is a bunch of sheep. And
bunch of sheep.
I'm not panicking. I don't think most people are because of one key word you said in there. Nagy.
Yeah.
I think most people blame it on, like, Nagy and not Justin Fields.
Even if you take away Nagy sucking, I brought it up somewhere. I don't remember if it was this show or not because I missed this show so goddamn much lately. When Joe Flacco got hurt and Lamar Jackson came in, there was no offense built for Lamar Jackson yet. They had Lamar Jackson playing Joe Flacco's offense. The only reason Lamar did so well is because he's Lamar freaking Jackson. He can do well. He's such a good runner, a good athlete, and better at throwing the ball than some people like to admit, that he was still able to do okay. Justin Fields, while a very good quarterback, is not the runner Lamar Jackson is. As a worse offensive line, Allen Robinson, who just doesn't seem to be trying very hard, and now a hurt running back. Like, so Justin Fields has...
You're forgetting Darnell Mooney, who is going to the moon after...
I was literally just doing this so I could build the effect to be Darnell Mooney is all he had. You're ruining my show, Bobby!
Well, all I want to say is he's worked out with Justin Fields, so that clearly means that he's the new wide receiver one.
If we hear that they start going to breakfast together, then I think that's something that we need to really take account of.
Yeah, but, you know, so my question is, and I might be asking this selfishly because I'm in a rebuild in like one or two places and trying to figure out if I can get Justin Fields cheaply. Do you think there are any owners who would trade Justin Fields pretty much like straight up for a 2022 first?
No.
No.
All right, Justin Fields, if you're listening to this podcast, I need you to suck for a little while longer.
Justin Fields, you be your best you. Don't listen to Bobby, because I know you listen to the show, Justin Fields. We love you. You do awesome. And JT, another touchdown? That's awesome, man. Yeah. I need him to kill it.
Going back to the trade, when I saw this, I wanted to ask you, Bobby, and you kind of alluded to this earlier. Do you think Jones comes back next year? And if not, do you think he's a starting quarterback in the National Football League?
This is a loaded question. Because there's like, I guess, the rational part of me, the emotional part of me, and then all sorts of things. So like, I think it honestly depends on what day you ask me and how he played given like the last Giants game that I watched.
Well, you're here and he asked you now.
Yep.
Yeah. So
so it's Monday.
Here's what I'll say about Jones. Jones has shown flashes of what I would call starting quarterback quality play. He's even shown some upside of maybe like above average quality play. His major problem has been his decision making. If you're taking away all the other factors, whether that's over the past few seasons, the Giants have had a bunch of injuries, they've had coaching changes, they've had Gettleman at the helm. You can give all these reasons of why maybe Jones has not played up to his potential. Their O-line is literally a paper bag just in front of Daniel Jones in most instances. His major flaw, from the perception of a fan who is not a professional scout, is his decision making, and sometimes he tries to force the ball. And he also, as everyone is aware, cannot protect the ball when he decides to be mobile for the life of him. Those are things that, like, maybe in your first one or two seasons I could forgive you for doing because you're still learning and you're learning the NFL. If you're still doing it in your third or fourth season, which he was in some of these games, although I will say I think this season is possibly the best I've seen him play in the 3 years that I've seen him play, even if the Giants aren't winning games, I think individually Daniel Jones has been playing particularly well, actually. The thing is, if you're not improving on decision-making in year three, that's really, really scary for your prospect of you're going to be my starting quarterback for another season after this. And I also think, given the record, and I have to hope, Dave Gettleman is long gone. So if they bring in another GM who didn't draft Jones, I just don't know that he'll have the same ties to Jones that Gettleman did and may want to bring in their own guy. Given that they also have two firsts, I could see them swinging a trade for some veteran quarterback if they really think that's the move they want to go, or trade up for, you know, Sam Howell or some other college quarterback that I can pretend to know their name, but I really only know Sam Howell's at this point.
Keep using it.
So that's a long way of saying, could I see a scenario where Daniel Jones is still the starting quarterback of the Giants next year? Yes. Do I think it's likely? No.
And if he's not starting for the Giants, you think he's just a backup wherever he ends up?
I could see a scenario where he's starting somewhere. It would require a trade because he would still be, I believe, under
the fourth year. Yeah.
But I think that he could be a starting quality quarterback and possibly on another team. I actually think Jones could be one of those guys where it's like best case scenario for both people to move on from each other, where it's like, this relationship is really not working for either of us. So let's just mutually, like, you go play for a team that will appreciate you and give you a good O-line, and then you will draft someone else who will get
it's killed not by you, a bad it's O-line. Me.
Yeah. So I think there could be like a mutual parting by the Giants.
So Daniel Jones and two firsts for Deshaun Watson.
God.
Now you're okay. I will say
I would quit football.
Yeah, I know. You're not it. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I would say as long as Gettleman there, Daniel Jones is the quarterback.
Yeah. That's so an accurate statement, but I don't expect Gettleman to be there.
You know, Gettleman's job. Yeah, it probably depends if he keeps the job or not.
The answer to your question depends on how stubborn the Maras are, essentially. If they're just like, oh, let's just make some more excuses for Gettleman, or we've had 4 or 5 seasons of him having a bunch of high picks because our team has sucked and hasn't had a winning record, and he still hasn't put together a winning team, maybe we should let him go. Or they go, no, there were injuries, and even though those happened to literally every other team, somehow it makes a better excuse for our team. So that's where I stand on Jones. I don't think he's a good fantasy value. I don't think his job is very secure, and so I wouldn't pay all that much for him.
All right, this is a nice quick one, but it's someone we've been talking about a lot in TA9, Brandon Cooks for Elijah Mitchell and Devontae Parker.
Brandon Cooks all day.
Elijah Mitchell seems to be the dude when he's healthy. It was a weird shoulder injury that took him out. Devontae Parker is on, I think he's on IR right now, but he had a decent target share when he was there. I think about this when it comes at me.
I'm a little worried about Mitchell with Lance, just because, I mean, you saw this past week, Lance had like 16 rushes. I mean, is he going to monopolize the carries?
The less he'll be skittish, and hopefully he'll go through progressions and not take off as quickly.
I might be making this up, but I'm pretty sure I saw reports that like Garoppolo's already pretty much ready to start again next week, and they're more or less wanting to go back to him already.
And I actually saw something where Lance had got some kind of injury in the game, and they're saying he might not be ready for the next game anyway. I forget what the injury was.
This past week.
I know. I will say this. I had stated earlier my love of Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
The thing is, Elijah Mitchell has looked pretty good. Devontae Parker, when he is healthy, can probably give you comparable numbers, as long, the caveat being that Brandon Cooks stays on the Texans. Because if Brandon Cooks ends up in a good offense that actually wants to use him, and the trade-off would be he probably wouldn't have as much volume as he has on the Texans, but at least the quality of targets would probably be better, then I would favor the Cook side. I understand Russ's, I would at least think about it. And if I really needed that running back depth, I would probably pull the trigger, as sad as it would make me. I would shed at least one single tear that would slowly fall to the ground. But I think I would probably do it if I needed a running back.
I don't think Parker and Cooks is close, by the way. Parker had one game over 12 points out of his first.
Sorry, four. There was a long Hollywood touchdown, and I'm playing against him in a lot of leagues.
So Rocky, what I should say is like, Cooks is significantly better than Parker. I agree there. But
even in Houston, I think he's significantly better. The three games, didn't he have over 100 yards in each game? One of them was Davis Mills.
He was going crazy with Davis Mills for a while, but the past few games have not been quite as good. And
I put this last game, though. Belichick always takes away your best option.
Yeah, but he even had not great. I mean, he was 5 for 47 against the Bills, and yes, I'm looking this
up. Mills was horrible that game.
Right, but Mills is his quarterback, so that's kind of. I mean, granted,
but Mills then also then produced against the Patriots. So I don't know what to make of him.
Yeah, apparently Mills was like, "Hey, Chris Moore, remember when everyone was excited about you as a dynasty's prospect for the Ravens? Let's remind them of that."
That's where that name sounded familiar from. Totally forgot. Like, I know that name and I can't place it.
That's all I'm good for these days, is remembering random guys who got hyped at one point who never became anything. Like, oh no, tangent. But when Tajay Sharpe was talked about because he was catching passes, I was like, Tajay Sharpe, there's a name I remember somewhat about.
Okay, we have one more trade that we're going to get to, and then we have two listener questions that we're going to get through fast because my face is killing me. Trade addicts 10. Will Greer, which was just a throw-in, James Washington, and Mike Williams for Quintus Cephas, Ramondre Stevenson, and Dallas Goedert.
Just a reminder, too, this is the league where there are no games
being played. Oh, yes, this is trade addicts 10, where there are no points being scored right now. This is literally just dynasty value there. You don't think about points whatsoever because we're not counting anything yet.
So the key pieces were basically Mike Williams and Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
Yes.
Because Ramondre is never going to be anything as long as Bill's in town. That's just my opinion. I mean, when you're going to Brandon Bolden over him, the sign is not great. I'm going to go with Mike Williams there. And I know it's a tight end premium, but one just for Russ, team big receiver. Team Clemson receiver, team all the other hashtags.
Team Clemson big wide receiver.
Yeah. The other thing is like the, and I'm blanking on his name. Was it Brady who came over to the Chargers or whoever came over from
Lombardi?
Lombardi. And he said that like essentially Mike Williams is going to take over the Michael Thomas role in the Chargers offense. And then when you have Justin Herbert throwing him the ball, and so far, he's made pretty good on that, where he's like keeping pace with Keenan Allen. It just seems like in 2021, or not 2021, we're in 2021, 2022, he will have a greater value than Goedert will. Especially, don't get me wrong, Jalen Hurts has been great for fantasy, and he's also been, I actually like him a lot as a quarterback, and I've enjoyed watching his pressers. And I'm not just saying that because I dogged on Philly a bit earlier. I truly believe that. But there you go, all the Philly fans in the chat. I just threw you a bone.
Appreciate it.
I just think he has other weapons that he prefers to using to his tight end. And he also, his mobility takes away from some of the short dump offs that could go in a less mobile offense to tight end. So personally, I would take Mike Williams. But that's just me. I could understand going either way.
No, that's absolutely the correct answer. Sorry, Renshaw.
Yeah, I'm with Bobby and you, Russ. I'd go Williams. Goedert, I love the talent of Goedert, but and he may not
0% be in, target share.
Yeah, he may in Philly. It's not great with Ertz there, and Ertz, you know, they kind of made up. You know, there was everybody thought he was leaving, and he thought he was leaving, and he wasn't happy with the organization, and I don't know. I don't even know if he's definitely going to be gone next year. And even if he is, Goedert could be gone next year. So
we'll draft someone else anyway.
Yeah,
they always have two tight ends.
And who? Well, I'm just saying for Goddard's value though. Who knows where he goes? If he goes, you know, he could go somewhere that's horrible. I just rather have Williams. I think they're going to retain Williams. They picked up his $15 million fifth year option when it didn't really seem like he warranted that, and now it does. So I kind of feel like they're going to keep him, and you know, Keenan's getting up there. So it makes sense for them to do that. So, yeah, Williams is probably going to be tied for Herbert for multiple years. I have no idea. They haven't extended Goddard. And
Goddard's going to go to Indy. Yeah. And we're going to be so excited probably. That he goes to Wentz with Frank Reich. And then he's just going to be terrible.
Yeah, so I no idea what Goddard's future is. I'll take my plans.
You know what helps your young quarterback continue to be good? Keeping his supporting cast around him. So Mike Williams is probably there to stay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the easier of the two questions we have. Add Andrew Hall FF, DAP Network shout out. Woo woo. Is Jamar Chase a top 5 dynasty wide receiver?
Yes.
So easily.
Easy. Done. Yep.
Moving on.
He's not, it's super high drafted, super great production, and in five his first five games, it's like a no-brainer.
And tied to Joe Burrow, who everyone was pretty excited about and is playing pretty well in his second year now that he's not as injured as he was in his first year.
Yeah, I think he's like the wide receiver like seven right now too or something. So,
okay, so last question at Fantasy Forecaster. How do each of you determine whether to go for it this year or toss in the towel and play for next? Is now too late or about when you're making that call? All right, we talked about this a little bit already. I'm going to say there's no such thing as too late. You know, trades are trades. Trades will always be there. You do want to try and do it early so you're the first person or one of the first so you get those better prices, because once there's four people deciding that they're just going to rebuild,
I know
people have more options.
I did at the same time as Bobby and Awesome Sauce, so that's not great. Yeah.
So I, like, honestly, after week four, I think you know what your team is. I mean, we're at week five now, so I think it's a little later than I like. But, man, there's just sometimes you can tell. You know coming in that your team isn't great. It's week three, you're 1-2. Or even if you're 2-1, but, you know, the average points against is like 97. You're like, okay, nope, bad. But just to answer your question, there's no such thing as too late. You could always make moves. It's just when you're the first person to make the decision, you'll get better prices. So you want to try and make it earlier than now. But as long as no one else has or not too many people in your league have, go nuts, man.
I also borrowed this from my friend Leo P. I think he's still at SigaFF. Maybe he's changed his Twitter handle because I haven't paid much attention. But the number one skill that you can have in Dynasty, and I mean this with all sincerity, is being honest with yourself about your roster and whether it's a contender, a rebuilder, or even like what I would call like a faker. And the mistake that I made in Awesome Sauce or Hot Sauce or whatever is mine was 100% a faker. When I think about it, there's all like players who came out of nowhere to produce last year. And I was like, yeah, I can contend again this year. I should make some moves to go for it. And I was relying on guys who like came out of nowhere and didn't have a great track record of doing this, but I just wanted to win. I even changed my name to I'm Gonna Wreck It. And that is now I'm in like, what, third to last place, fourth to last place. I just beat Russ this week, though. So, you know, I sold off to Rocky's point, and then my team went, oh, yeah, let's be the second highest scorer in the league this week. But even when that happens, I'm still going in the direction of selling because I know that that was just 1 week, and my team is not a legitimate contender when I'm being honest with myself. It's just not ready. My young quarterbacks, talking to you, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones, need to step it up a little bit, and I need more running backs, and honestly, I need more wide receivers. I need everything. That team needs a little bit of everything. Yeah.
And there's sort of another, I agree with you about that kind of faker thing. I've had teams like that as well. There's also the issue, which is what I had in Awesome Sauce, and I have in a couple other leagues now, but I just haven't had the issues yet that I had in that league, is there's certain leagues you know that are like a house of cards. Like if you get two injuries, you're screwed. And that's what happened to me there. I lost Tua. I only
I traded you Tua.
Yeah. I have Kittle. He just went down. I lost Carson. And I really needed everything to go perfect in that league. Nobody to get hurt because I had no depth. And even the guys I had weren't like super studs. Most of them I had like, you know, Kamara is probably like my best player. So yeah, you got to be honest with yourself, like you said. And I think now about is the time to do it. Cause like Russ said, you got to get in early. You want to start selling before everybody else does. So before some of those contenders start giving up those first or whatever other young assets they might have to give up for your players. So I generally think in overall just around 4 or 5 weeks is where I look for everything to kind of to normalize. Basically, like I look at my points, my all play, even just in terms of even if I'm contending, like in terms of matchups and things like that, I think you start to get a better idea of who's good against the run, who's good against the pass, all that kind of stuff happens about 4 to 5, 6 weeks into the season. So that's when I'd be looking to start selling or even possibly start buying, because I think the prices are, you know, may even go up if you're buying as a contender, you know, come week 9, 10, yes. 11, 12, when everybody's, you know, everyone
know
knows who's contending.
Yes. Contending. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Also, if I may add, this is all on the caveat that you don't have someone who I would call as being sharp in your league. Because, for example, in Trade Addict 7, if someone wanted to sell right now, it'd be too late because 2 years ago, I bought all the first. So I'm the only one they could deal with and my team's not contending. So they're basically SOL if they want to sell.
Yeah, that's the issue I'm having in TA3, which is why I'm buying 23 first.
Right. You can still buy the class 2 years out, but mm-hmm. a lot of this is based on the fact that someone didn't already beat you to it by
right.
just selling off way too early.
All right, well, that is the end of our show sheet. That's going to be the end of our show. It's funny, I was about to apologize for this show being shorter than normal, but it's still an hour and 13 freaking minutes already. I know, I
was going to say, remember when this was going to be a short one, Russ?
To be fair, comparatively, it is.
It is, I guess so.
Well, Bobby doesn't do anything anymore, so I'm just going to add him into our... I'm Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse. He is Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict. He is Bobby Koch at Wrecked Fantasy, R-E-K-E-D Fantasy. This is Trade Addicts Pod, member of the DAB Network, DLF family of podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review to all of it. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. We talked about that already, but join it because you love us and we love you. FFPodShirts.StoreEnvy.com. Buy all the awesome stuff that is in there. Every penny will go to Fantasy Cares, which is Toys for Tots and Open Pantry, I think. Maybe, possibly. I don't know. I do what Scott tells me to do. But yeah, every single penny, and you get some awesome stuff and give stuff to charity. And I need to go to the hell to bed. Good night, you lovely people.
Good night, Russ.
Good night, everybody.